Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, August 18th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Well, it was a spirited day in the markets today, and a little bit of pressure on gold, but it seems in the later day of trade, it's trying to claw its way back. We have gold currently at 1118. For the day, a little unchanged. We had a high of 1121, so, and a low of 1109. So, again, gold is trying to make its way higher. Silver, though, a lot of pressure on silver, 47 cents down, $14.95. Platinum was down $4 at $999. Palladium down 17 at $601. You have the USDX today a little bit stronger, 0.18 at $96.99. Crude oil a little bit higher, 47.47 at 42.34. Paper markets today, higher in early morning trade, reverse, but really not so much. 33 points negative, 17,511. The NASDAQ was down 32 at 5,052. And the S&P down 5 at 2,096. The 10-year yield moved a little bit, 0.05 at 220. The euro, pressure on the euro, 0.43 negative at 1.10. And basically a lot of the European markets, China's main stock index, the Shanghai plunged another 6.2%. And, of course, this is the biggest drop since July 27th when it had that 8.5% dive. And this is a sell-off following Beijing's efforts to ban major shareholders from selling. And all the news out of China really hasn't done anything to restore any confidence in its financial markets. And, you know, these worries, it didn't affect Germany's that much. France, their markets were both flat overnight. Britain slipped just slightly. The Asian markets, the Nikkei, you know, barely moved 0.3% down. But, and the Hang Seng, Hong Kong's market dropped 1.4%. So still a lot of pressure on that Chinese stock market. And, you know, they're trying to, the central bank is still trying to inject large amounts of cash into the system. And, but the stock market continued to drop. So
why do you think they continue to drop? You know, this is this news about China and the markets and so on, the devaluation. I'm not sure if the news were just there, if we'd had honest information from China in the first place as to how much their economy is growing. We hear people talking about 7%. We others say the real number is 2%, maybe less than that. If we had straight information from China in the first place, I don't think people would be as inclined to panic. But what's happened here is the problems they've had in China's markets and the problems they've had with devaluation just in the last week or 10 days, their evidence, all of a sudden we know, China is not as strong as we had led to been as we'd been led to believe. And what I'm speculating about is the idea that the lies alone have added fuel to the flames here. And if they said, look, here's a deal, we're only growing at 1.5% a year. Okay, we can work with that. And we wouldn't necessarily want to panic or overreact when the market had took a fall. But when you think it's 7%, the GDP's growing 7%, and everything's wonderful and strong, and all of a sudden you find out, no, it's not. I think that inspires a measure of panic, hysteria, overreaction, whatever. And I think that's what they're dealing with right now. And I think maybe there's a lesson in that. If you keep telling the lies long enough and people believe your lies, the day is going to come when the lies fail. And when it does, people are going to be shocked. Shocked, I tell you, Melody. And they just may overreact in a way that's, you know, in retrospect, sit back and say, you know, I should have just told them the truth in the first place. That make any sense to you, Melody?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not any much difference than what we're experiencing over here in China. I mean, everybody believes they can figure out China, but you have to remember the kind of country that China is. And I think people fail to see that. They look to China like they're like
they look to Washington.
Like, yeah. I mean, you know, they expect...
Surely they would tell us the truth.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, no. I mean, they're far worse than probably even Washington is. And you're not going to get any. They won't tell anyone what they're actually doing. So, you know, to some degree, and anybody going in there thinking that, hey, China is just another United States or someone, you know, it doesn't shock me and it doesn't surprise me. It's, you know, people... you know, they read these reports and think they're true. And I wouldn't believe any information that comes out of China. But, you know, it's just like I don't believe much information that comes out of the U.S. But, you know, at least I can understand it a little bit better here because we're here. And when we're talking about China, you had that huge explosion last week at a warehouse in Tianjin in China. And what's interesting... let me bring this up. They discovered 700 tons of sodium cyanide. And I have to thank a client today, Pete, for bringing this to my attention. And I started doing a little investigation, and it really is interesting. And so they had 700 tons of sodium cyanide, more than 70 times the legal limit allowed. And certainly cyanide has an unpleasant reputation, and finding it at a major disaster is not a good thing. And, of course, it does have damaging effects when it, you know, it can become airborne and so forth. I mean, I think everybody remembers the cyanide pill that was used for suicide and so forth. But why is this interesting? Why is this interesting that there was this much sodium cyanide found at this warehouse in China? And why would a company want so much of it? and it is used industrially across the globe, most frequently in the mining of gold. And so we can, and you know, you have the environmentalists who dislike gold mines because of the usage of cyanide. They put a lot of stop to a lot of the mining in gold, I know, in various places around the world because of the cyanide that is used. And they become a thorn in the mining industry of gold because it is used so heavily. So it's interesting when we talk about China and we talk about their the amount of gold that they have, and then to find this huge amount of storage of cyanide that's a very important component to gold mining. Well, kind of makes you wonder. It's what they're up to. And
they're mining every
absolutely
half cent's worth of gold they can find out of the ground anywhere in China.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're pursuing it at almost any cost. If there's gold to be found, they're going to get it. And they don't seem to mind if it costs them $2,000 an ounce to haul it out of the ground. Their expenditures are not, they're going to get that gold. And at least those are the reports I've heard. And, cyanide is used for that purpose.
But it's interesting that they've had more than 70 times, 700 tons. I don't know how many tons it takes, you know, in order to, how much cyanide is used in order to, you know,
scratch. Do you know how it's used?
Pardon?
Do you know how they use cyanide to go to extract gold from ore?
Well, sort of, yes.
Well, my understanding is that what they do is they mine the ore,
mm-hmm.
and they'll bring up tons of it at time, of course, and they run it through machines that beat the ore to a powder finer than flour. And I remember this just because I toured the Homestake, I believe that was the name of it, mine here in the United States back 50 years ago when I was a kid, and it still sticks in my mind. They beat that rocks. I mean, this is hard to believe. They were getting a fraction of an ounce out of a ton of ore, and it was profitable, which is astonishing to me. All right? But they'd bring up tons of rock. They'd beat it to a powder that is finer than flour. And then they would soak that powder in cyanide, and the cyanide, the gold, is soluble in cyanide. And the gold, the cyanide would pick up the gold, and it would percolate through the rock, through the powder, and then it would be caught on copper trays, all right? Something like a copper conveyor belt. And they'd heat it.
It turns
to
back
boil
into
off
solid.
The cyanide. The cyanide would boil off, and the gold would remain. And all that would be rain would be a sheet of gold on this copper plate.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume they're doing the same thing in China today. And the only thing about it is, my God, you know, it is it's a pollution problem. And it's not a small problem. I mean, you got to be careful. The cyanide will kill you, and it doesn't take that much. And these people are packing hundreds of tons of it. You have to wonder, what do they do? I mean, how careful are they? This is China. Are they really careful about preventing that cyanide from getting into their atmosphere or their water?
Well, that the dangerous part is the biggest fear is that this hydrogen
cyanide is what you were saying.
Sodium cyanide upon exposure to water or high pressures forms hydrogen cyanide, and that is a gas.
Okay.
So and this is what, you know, is this is very dangerous if it turns into this gas. So if it stays in the powder form, it's not quite as, you know, of course, if, you know, it's no way to, you know, spread it miles and miles, you know, around. The gas is certainly much more dangerous. And of course, when you have an explosion of this type, I mean, when you look at the pictures of this explosion, it truly does look like a bomb went off.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it just doesn't look like
an
explosion.
There's a hole in the ground.
I mean, this is
a
warehouse.
A hole in the ground.
It's a warehouse, so it's not even manufacturing.
not anymore.
I mean, there's a huge hole in the ground, and again, more representative of a bomb going off than a, you know.
It looks like it was almost hit by a missile.
It does.
Yeah, it looks like
it
something.
It truly does.
It drove into the ground ways and then blew up from underground and splattered everything. But I don't know. You look at it, and is it just, you know, one of those misfortunes of mismanagement, carelessness, greed, whatever? Is that the problem? Or was there something nefarious going on where a foreign country decided, they're storing several hundred tons of this stuff in one location?
Not several hundred, 700. Mm. That's an incredible. Maybe it isn't in the terms of the product, but it sure seems like an incredible amount. But very interesting, and conspiracy theories can certainly pop up on this one. But,
yep.
You know, you almost have to think, though, you know, there's... It's very interesting.
Inquiring minds want to know. That's what it comes down to. We may even find out someday. But I haven't heard any allegations coming from China alleging that this was anything other than an accident.
I don't think they would.
Well, they might. They tried to blame the stock market crash on the United States. They said someone in the Chinese government said, the United States is responsible for the stock market crash a week ago or thereabouts. You know, it's almost, I'm surprised that no one has stood up and said,
that was really the Chinese government who said that.
Well, somebody who, yeah. On the internet, who knows?
Everything on the internet is
true. Get myself a hat with some scrambled eggs on it, and I can claim to be an Air Force general and release information about anti-ballistic missiles and whatever.
And, you know, I don't want to talk about the elections, and I don't want to talk about Trump again, but you know what? It amazes me how I hear these comments coming from him, and it's just interesting because no one else talks this part of these various issues, and this is in reference to the immigration. Of course, all we hear from media is, more border guards and a fence. Okay, you know, send them back, they're all drugs and so forth. But he does touch on these H-1B visas, and he does talk about, you know, how it has destroyed Americans' jobs because it goes to these workers with these visas. And, we certainly know the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world. And there's even a commentary with his connection to Marco Rubio. To triple the H-1B visas for these international employees, where they can come and take these jobs, and you know, they go right to Silicon Valley, and they have all these tech jobs, and so Trump writes about it, and he talks about it, and what he would do about it, and there's no other. I don't hear anybody else talking about this particular issue with the jobs and so forth. So again, I mean, it surprises me, and
that's half of, you know, Trump may not have the right idea, but at least he's facing the problem. Most of the rest of these guys don't want an idea. They don't want to deal with this problem. All right, Trump says, here's the problem. Let's see if we can fix it. Maybe he's got the right idea. Maybe he's got the wrong idea. But at least he's admitting there's a problem that needs to be solved. And most people agree with him. There's a problem that needs to be resolved. And most of the politicians don't. They don't agree with it. They just sit back and let's duck this one. And, I think we mentioned this last couple of days. I probably said this already, but I don't recall clearly. I meant to. The difference between Trump and most of the rest of the candidates, with the possible exception of Ben Carson, they've actually done something in their lives. Ben Carson is a doctor. He points out that he's removed half of someone's brain and they continue to function and get on in life. He tells that he is, as a surgeon, he has operated on a baby when the baby was still in the mother's womb. Right? He has done real things in this life. Trump's the same thing. Trump has cut deals in real estate. All right, he's done things. But most of the politicians that we vote for or against right now haven't done anything. They're just ideologues. They support a particular ideology. They talk about being conservative. They talk about being liberal. They claim to be, I don't know, some of them claim to be communists. In fact, but all they have to really offer us is ideology. Mm-hmm. And they can deliver good speeches on their ideology, each from, you know, whichever side of the spectrum we're talking about. But what have they done? And what I'm seeing, from my perspective, I look back at this and I say, listen, Trump has actually done something. He's been in the real world. He hasn't just been making speeches. He's been in the real world. He's succeeded. Maybe that's a serious recommendation. Same thing with Ben Carson. Maybe that's something people are saying, well, wait a second. These guys have done something. And that's just talking about it. They've done something. Maybe we should think about voting for them. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Do you have a particular choice of where we'd like to go now, Melody?
Oh, I would like to go to the beach.
The beach. Well,
I would like to go to the Caribbean, perhaps.
How about the Pacific Rim? Pacific Rim free trade talks fall short of deal. That's in Reuters. Pacific Rim trade ministers failed to clinch a deal on Friday to free up the trade between a dozen nations after a dispute flared up over auto trade between Japan and North America. New Zealand dug in over dairy trade, and no agreement was reached on the monopoly periods for next generation drugs.
I don't know.
You know, what is the big deal about drugs, Melody?
Money, money, money.
You darn right. Who cares how long you get to the idea? The argument is that the United States wants 12 years. Essentially, they want, if we can invent a new drug, we want an exclusive on it for 12 years before the other nations can copy it. Some of the nations want no time at all. It says, look, you're making it, we're making it, no big deal. One of them, I can't remember which one they mentioned, they want 5 years. Might be Australia, I can't recall clearly. It's in the article here, and maybe we'll see it in a moment. But it's a big deal. Want these drugs. U.S. pharmaceutical industry, it may be the single biggest contributor to Congress after banking. I think Wall Street is the number one contributor to Congress, which means they bribe more congressmen and senators than any other industry sector. And I think pharmaceuticals might be the number two bribers, as opposed to being bribees. Congress and the Senate, those are the bribees, and the pharmaceutical corporations are the bribers. And the point is, by means of passing laws that protect these drug manufacturers, they're able to make exorbitant profits. And they want those profits to continue in overseas markets. And, you know, this is goofy. This is wrong. I mean, ignoring the fact that they bribe congressmen to pass laws that are conducive to making big profits for these drug corporations, these pharmaceutical corporations, what do they do for anyone? When was the last time, with all the research they do, when was the last time they found a drug that actually cured a disease? I don't doubt they may have done so. I don't know of any, I haven't heard of any, it may have happened, but not many. I mean, I remember polio. They got something where we knocked out polio back when I was a kid. How many other diseases, smallpox, has been more or less eradicated? Not necessarily from drugs, but that had more to do with sanitation, one thing another, and controlling the, keeping an eye on who had the disease and controlling them. But with all the money that is made by the pharmaceutical industry, you would think they'd come up with a pill that would eliminate something like AIDS or any one of 100 different diseases that plague a lot of people in this country. But they never do that. What they do is come up with a pill that will alleviate your symptoms because they know that it's a bad business model to cure diseases. They cure diseases, they've lost their customers. On the other hand, if all they do is treat symptoms, we've got somebody who's got a particular disease, and that guy's going to have the disease from now until the day he dies. And during that entire 10, 20, 50 years, he's going to have to buy pills that alleviate his symptoms. And that's what they want. So my point is that there is nothing moral or ethical that you can trace to the pharmaceutical industry in this country that's worth preserving. These people aren't out to do this country any good. They're not out to do the people any good. They are out to essentially addict us to pills that will alleviate symptoms, but never get rid of the drug, never get rid of the disease itself. And there may be some exceptions. I get that, but my point. I'm not even in favor of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I don't even trust that. I'm not in favor of it. But if one of the reasons it's being held up is to ensure that the U.S. pharmaceutical industry can continue to make exorbitant profits, not just in this country, but in nations around the world, I sit back and think to myself, you know, this is a con. This is a hustle. This is just wrong. They shouldn't even be in this. Get them out of here. You don't get a say in this discussion. You're just hustlers and con artists. Go back and make another pill, and we'll figure out what's going to happen over at the Trans-Pacific Partnership meeting. So, in any case, the agreement has not yet been negotiated. There are still a couple of stumbling blocks. One involves automobiles. One involves New Zealand dairy. One involves United States drugs. You know, one of the things about this is, when did we become a nation who depends on selling drugs as a basis for our prosperity? Why aren't we arguing about how much steel we sell? Or how many TVs or computers or cars or airplanes or something? No, we're not arguing about that. That's no problem. It's the drugs. We have become a nation of drug pushers. That's the implication here. And there's something just wrong with this. So, I don't know. A pox on all their houses, as far as I'm concerned. U.S. drug makers want 12 years protection. Australia only has 5. Chile has none at all. This is, you got to maintain that profit as long as you can.
I'm not sure how many drug makers are actually in Chile, or I don't know how many is in Australia, but I mean, certainly. But you know what? I mean, the Americans pay thousands of percent pill than any other country in the world. We subsidize the world's medications. We subsidize, you know, all the R&D and everything else. I mean, they pay, you know, people around the world pay pennies.
I know.
For
that's all they can afford.
And we pick up the bill again.
I don't know if we do.
Yes, we do.
We really subsidize those pills, or are they selling them at a free market price? Say, look, these people are too poor to pay us $5 a pill, so let's sell them for 10 cents a piece because that's all they can afford, and we can still make a nickel. I think they're selling them down at what their costs are. I don't think we're subsidizing.
Yes,
we're just being hustled and conned.
Same
that's
thing.
All they're selling them to poor people at price poor people can afford and rich people.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's probably more poor people in this country on medications.
Yeah,
and
maybe,
yet they can sign, you know, but they've got the government to pay for it, and then who pays for the government?
I agree with that. That's another problem.
You can term whatever you want to it, but the industry is being subsidized for all their,
with the government.
And that's why they need it, because if they didn't have those 12 years of protection, well, maybe the costs would actually go down.
Well, I don't think they're doing it to control their costs. I think they're doing it to generate, their maximize their profits. Say, we get to rob these people for 12 years, come up with a new drug, and then by then we'll have something even newer that we can make money off of, and the rest of you bozos can make generic drugs based on the one we finally got rid of after 12 years of, you know, maximizing our profits.
You know, this morning, not to change the topic, but, you know, again, the information about Hillary and her emails just become a little more bizarre time and time again, where her server was, you know, in a bathroom with a little, you know, IT company in Colorado. But it's interesting to see all the connections, you know, from the Democratic, from the politicians, and how they've all shook each other's hand and greased each other's back and so forth. It really is incredible of how this is being,
well,
all the information that's being released. About.
If her name was Edward Snowden, she'd be.
Oh, I'll tell you.
She would have been hiding in someplace in Russia right now. She'd be gone. All right, but given that her name is Hillary Clinton, well, it's just kind of a big joke. No big thing.
Her server was kept in a bathroom closet.
That's interesting to me. It almost makes me think, you know, there's people using the bathroom that are just, I don't know, taking a shower or whatever and throwing their dirty underwear on the server. Good place to put your dirty shorts when you get in and take a shower. And there's something about this is top secret information. It's buried in the laundry someplace. It's buried in somebody's pile of dirty laundry. I don't know. Is this a new Is this a new strategy for concealing our secrets from foreign powers? We'll bury it under a bunch of laundry or what? Hard to make sense of it.
Well, supposedly they tracked down these ex-employees of Platte River Networks in Denver. And, of course, again, as I mentioned, there was strong links to the Democratic Party, and they're actually trying to figure out what the true connection was and how did the Clinton come to contract a company that was basically described as a mom-and-pop operation. And, yeah, and so, and yet since then, though, they've now been able to move into a nice big building, and they've been able to increase their employees by threefold, and
what a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Yep.
They went from an 1,800 square foot loft apartment to a 12,000 square foot space. And certainly it's, you know, good to be successful, but you just wonder how much.
Well, it's the sort of thing you can advertise. You can talk. You might have some Chinese customers, for example, say, you can keep your secrets on the same server where Hillary keeps those of the United States government. Well, that'd be a selling point, I think. I think China, well, yeah, sign me up, you know. Russia, they might want to get in on that. They might, you know.
And there's one thing. This bugs me, and I guess it's just another sign of, let me see if I bet I can't find it here. I think I lost it. Of just how low this country has really become. And it just amazes me. It doesn't shock me anymore. It just amazes me that things just don't seem to matter anymore.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It just doesn't move anybody. If anything, folks become angry as they try to defend things that just doesn't seem to be quite normal. And things are just thrown in our face anymore. We're supposed to accept things without questioning or able to give our opinion and disagree. It's just and I can't find what I had in front of me. Here it is. Obama has hired his first openly transgender staffer. This was announced today, a big announcement. Reported that the administration has named Rafi Friedman Gerspan as the outreach and recruitment director for presidential personnel in the Office of Personnel. And she's been participating in the White House briefing
now,
on the state.
Can you clarify she? Is this a real she? Is this a he-she? What kind of she is
he-she? It's a he-she. He-she. And as he-she participated in the White House briefing on the state of transgender women of color. Now, why would you even have briefings on something? I don't know. Just
I think we need another one. I think we need one on transgender Eskimos who are also albinos. We should have an outreach for that, Melody. There must be two or three of those people somewhere on the face of the globe. We should worry about that. I mean, how big a damn problem is it? How many transgender blacks do they have? And why is that a problem that the people of this country need to address?
Exactly.
I mean, what part of the Constitution? I can go back and pull out a copy and read the preamble. Let me see. I've got it. I have it here handy. Yeah, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Where in there did it say anything about taking care of transgender people? Is that under domestic tranquility, the general welfare, blessings of liberty? Is that what it's all about?
Well, supposedly this new position is supposed to, and this is a new position, her new position could help, he-she position, Obama push to enact immigration reform. She supports
immigration.
She has been vocal in her support of limits on the detention of transgender illegal immigrants. How many of those can there be?
I don't know.
and to end the suffering of these detainees. Well, okay.
End the suffering, don't
send them back.
Don't enter illegally. If you don't like our prisons, don't come here illegally. Very simple solution. All right? You can't sit there and say, oh, you have entered our country illegally, or oh, you broke into my home illegally, but let me make you comfortable. Would you like a cup of coffee, maybe a beer? Sit down over here. We'll fix you a steak. No, we won't. We're going to throw your butt in the slammer. Don't like it? Don't come here. Let's take a break, Melody. More commercial.
The Pentagon is actually preparing to lift its ban on transgender individuals in the military.
Yeah, well, that'll make war fighting soldiers from the sky. You know, fighting transgenders from the sky. I don't know how many of you remember that song from Sergeant Barry Someone back in the 60s, Vietnam
Green
era.
Green Beret.
It was Green Beret, Ballad of Green Beret. Now we'll have the Ballad of the Transgender Warriors. We'll be back on the on financial survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And while we were taking the commercials, Melody and I were talking quietly among ourselves. Joan Rivers used to do that. Talk among yourselves. I think that was part of, I'm not sure if that, well, maybe that was a different comedian. But in any case, we're talking about this situation with appointing some person of a transgender nature to deal with personnel employment problems and whatever. And we were speculating. Do you want to go ahead with that, Melody, or you want me to?
Go ahead.
Well, we're just talking about it. You know, it crosses our minds. There are rumors, unsubstantiated rumors, unsubstantiated conspiracy theories. I don't know if they're true or false, but they are persistent. Some people think Barack Obama is gay. Some people think Michelle Obama is a trans sexual, transgender, whatever. I'm not even sure what the terms mean, but some people think that Michelle was actually Michael at one point in time and may still be Michael, and I don't know if that's true or false. I'm not going to argue. But, you know, we started to speculate. Where did they find this woman who is transgender to run a personnel program for the federal government? Did they advertise? Is this something you can find in the yellow pages now? Is that where you find this? Or was this an old buddy of Michael and or Michelle who has been recommended to President Obama? And when you get off on these, intriguing, inquiring minds want to know. True or false, I don't know. But it is interesting that he has the kind of rumors that question his own sexuality and the gender of his alleged wife. This is a little bit consistent with this idea of hiring transgender people. That isn't proof. None of this proves anything. It's just interesting to think about. But then we take a little stroll down memory lane, and we have Joan Rivers, comedian. She stood up and said in public that, everybody knows that Michelle is a transgender, whatever it is, transgender, transsexual, something, I don't know, but alleged Michael was a man.
And Obama was
homo. Joan Rivers said that in public. And all of you probably remember that. 2 months later, she died on the operating table. Now, is this just a coincidence? Can you connect fact A with fact B? I don't know if you can or you can't. But it's one of those things you sit back and you would think that Obama should at least have enough brains as a politician. Either he should have enough brains or his advisors should have enough brains where somebody says, look, let's not mess with the transgenders because, there's these people out there who actually think Michelle is a man, for God's sake, and this will all be misunderstood and it'll be blown out of proportion. And somebody should tell them that there's some things that a smart politician just doesn't do. Just to avoid starting the kinds of rumors we're talking about right now. And for that reason at all, do we really need a transgender person? I would really like to see what this transgender individual who's running some personnel agency for the government, I'd like to know their background, and I would like to see if they have previously crossed paths with either Obama or especially Michelle back 15, 20 years ago. I'd like to see if they've crossed paths and if that's how we came to have this particular transgender individual dealing with federal personnel problems. Think we'll find out, Melody?
I don't know. But they do keep pushing this agenda, and it's like, why?
Well, they want the homosexual agenda. It's from my perspective, they want people to accept the idea that sexual deviancy is good. It's just a lifestyle choice. That's what they're trying to sell people. And as I pointed out a number of times, homosexuality is not a lifestyle choice. It's a death style choice. Back in the 1980s and into the 1990s, homosexuals were living 20 years less than heterosexuals. It was largely attributed to AIDS, but it also goes to the lifestyle that involves drugs and promiscuity and a frequency of exposure to disease, which necessarily runs with promiscuity. They passed special laws, Congress passed special laws in the 1980s to prevent insurance companies from tracking mortality in relationship to homosexuality. They didn't want evidence that the homosexuals were literally screwing each other to death. Right? I mean, this lifestyle choice is more lethal, at least in the 80s and 90s, was more lethal than telling our children that smoking tobacco or chewing tobacco is just a lifestyle choice. You want to be like the Marlboro man? Go ahead. Have a chaw of tobacco. Truth is, tobacco will knock 5 years off your life, on average, my understanding. At the time, homosexuality would knock off 20 years, maybe more. Now, since then, it may be that the number of years that you lose by choosing to be gay, right? The number of years that are lost, it may no longer be 20, and some people thought it was more than that. But it may no longer be 20, maybe it's only 10, 15, I don't know what it is. But I can guarantee you that if there was any evidence on the face of this earth that homosexuals live longer than heterosexuals, you would never hear the end of it. The fact that you hear nothing about it is evidence this is not a lifestyle choice. This is a form of slow suicide. It'll shorten your life, 5 years, 10 years, 15, I don't know how many. But we can't know because the government has protected them by passing laws where we don't track mortality in relationship to the homosexual, you know, population. So what do you do? This is governments. Oh, it's okay to be gay. Government, it's okay to be transgender. Government, it's okay to be transsexual, whatever. I'm not even sure what that means. All right? But you can be all these things. You can be odd. It's all right. Well, I agree with certain amount of freedom. I get that. But it can't be subsidized. All right? It's not the average American's business to subsidize people who make peculiar choices. People out there choose to cut off an arm or a leg. Should we subsidize that? Should we tell our children this is a lifestyle choice? You're free. You want to cut off an arm or a leg? You know, somewhere along the line, we have to set an example and say, look, this is bad business. Can't be allowed. And we're not doing that. No one's standing up for the culture that made this country great, and they're advocating and imposing a culture that a secular humanist culture, a secular humanist faith, that will ultimately take us down into third world status. Give us enough time. That's where we're headed. While we all dilly-dally around, nobody wants to do what's right, and everybody wants to do what is politically correct. Well, I don't think it's going to work out well. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, we have the Atlanta Fed. They said that the U.S. economy is on track to grow 1.3% in the third quarter. And this was stronger than the regional Fed bank's prior estimate on August 13th. And percent rise in gross domestic product. And
1.3% is disappointing. That
certainly
sure
is.
They say this is stronger than expected. That's fancy language for saying it's not as bad as was feared. There's nothing strong about a 1.3%. That's an annual rate. It's not going to grow 1.3% in the third quarter. That is
the annual rate.
This is not cause for celebration. This is not evidence that the economy is strong. All right? It certainly can't be the sort of thing that Janet Yellen's going to point to and say, look, the economy is growing by 1.3%. Let's raise interest rates. I don't think so. I don't think that will be, you know, a rationale for Ms. Yellen. So, you know, it's, again, we talked about it the other day, 1929, the Great Depression allegedly started in 1929, but there wasn't a general consensus that people were in it until 1933. In retrospect, we say 1929 is when it started. In fact, the people of the country they weren't even convinced they were in a depression until 1933. This is another one of those indications. The U.S. economy on track to grow 1.3% in the third quarter. Well, if that's all we're going to do, and if that's what they're telling us, they're on track for that, what do you think the number is going to be at the end of the third quarter? We're midway through the third quarter right now. What do you think the number is going to be, Melody? Will it be 1.7, 1.8, 1.1? What do you think?
Well, it depends on what the government want to lie is.
Well,
how they want to lie.
There's a limit to the lying. I mean, I know they want to spin this stuff, and I know they want to spin it, and they have to lie, or at least they want to lie, or they do lie. But
I think it's going to be very disappointing.
Truth will out. Somewhere along the line, the truth will out, in my opinion, in my hope. And you look at it, and after all the misstatements and misleading information and outright lies we get from the government, I don't know. I can't look at it and say, if the government says the economy is on track to grow 1.3% in the third quarter, I have to believe we're coming in 1.1%. We might even break under 1%. Right? My sense of skepticism is so highly evolved, I wouldn't trust these guys if they said the sun was coming up in the east tomorrow. No, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Right? Government says the sun is rising in the east. I'm sitting there thinking, maybe not. Now, maybe I've gone too far with my skepticism, but just the same.
Hey,
it's another one of those things where people don't necessarily recognize, where are we right now? Is the economy weak, strong? Are we already in or near a depression? Where are we?
Hey, we got a question in. Yvonne decided to send us an email instead of call. He says, six Russian MiG-31 Foxhound interceptor aircraft from Moscow landed Tuesday at the Mezi Air Base situated in Damascus International Airport. They were followed shortly after by giant AN-124 Condor transports, which delivered 1,000 third-generation anti-tank-guided missiles. The Russians sent exactly six interceptors to match the six F-16 fighters the U.S. deployed at the Turkish Incirlik Air Base on August 9th. And he would like your opinion on that, Al.
Well, it's not good news. It shows that people in the Middle East, namely the United States and Russia, are now engaged in the game of chicken. And it may even show that Putin, for Russia, actually thinks that the United States doesn't have the resources and or the nerve to really face off at Syria. I mean, it's a peculiar kind of gamble. If we're kind of already there, we've got our half dozen fighters there, we're already there, what's he doing? Is he asking for trouble, or does he think we're a paper tiger? And I don't have an answer. I don't know what he thinks, but it's certainly not good news. Sort of thing where you sit back and say, holy cow, are these people out of their minds? You know, this is one of those things where you sit back and say, why can't we protect our own borders? We're involved in every other nation on the face of the earth, allegedly going to fight against the Islamic State. We're going to do this, that, and the other, and we can't protect our own borders. There's part of me that sometimes says, well, I'm not sure what that was. I don't know how many heard that besides me. Did you hear that, Melody?
Yes, I did.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because that's a sign.
I only hear music, but I heard that.
Uh-huh. All right.
But it's interesting, though. You've had these, you had the U.S. deployed the Turkish air base on August 9th. The F-16 fighters, but then yesterday the United States announced it was pulling out its Patriot defense system from Turkey by October. Germany said it was doing the same thing. And so everyone is pulling out of Turkey. And, you know, I don't think that is it's interesting, and I'm not quite all sure how it's all relates to one another, but certainly, this is not a good sign.
No, you don't want to see two nuclear powers facing off. I mean, what happens if one of these airplanes gets shot out of the air? All right, there's going to be heck to pay, and we will find out where that goes. We live in interesting times, you know, and they're getting more interesting all the time. And again, one of the implications in this kind of madness and insanity, you're going to have to depend on yourself for your own protection, yourself and the good Lord. And insofar as you rely on yourself, you know what you can get. You know what you need. Gold and silver are among some of the things that you may need. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
For me, that's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money must be funny. Money, money, money.